Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network, Better Lawns and Gardens. We love talking to you about your gardening, and we want to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day this week. And the spring equinox, the vernal equinox, is starting on Friday, so spring will be here. Just want to just give a shout out to Buffalo. We have a lot of listeners in Buffalo.
Yes.
And Niagara Falls is frozen right now.
No way.
It's incredible. Incredible how cold it is up there. So we do appreciate you listening. Anywhere in the world, we have listeners from China, Singapore, Australia, even in Norway and Spain, just a bunch of different places. So we just wish everybody a good day, and thank you for listening. And it's time for the Dirty Word of the Day.
And now it's time for the Dirty Word of the Day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And I usually talk about three-leafed plants around St. Patrick's Day, but I've never talked in my whole career about this plant. You probably never heard of a trifoliate orange. Trifoliate orange, otherwise known as a Ponceris trifoliata. It's an evolutionary cousin of the citrus genus, which gives us lemons, kumquats, limes, pomelos, mandarins, sweet oranges, and more. Unlike citrus, trifoliate orange ripens only bitter, intensely sour fruit. Yet this plant, native to China and now disseminated around the globe, often is a rootstock for citrus, appeals in other ways. It better tolerates cold, withstands pests, and especially tantalizing, resists a disease-ravaging citrus grove, citrus greening. The trifoliate orange is a deciduous, thorny, and I want to just really, really, just stress, the thorny shrub or small tree within the citrus family. The species epithet is derived from Latin, indicates having three leaflets, highlighting the compound trifoliate leaves. Initially cultivated as a resilient rootstock for grafted citrus varieties, it's since gained recognition for its qualities as an ornamental specimen. Zoned for 5A to 9B, this species thrives in well-drained acidic soils under full sunlight and contain a height approaching 20 feet and 15 feet wide. The species is unusual among citrus for having deciduous compound leaves and downy fruit similar to a peach. Trifoliate orange features prominent abundant thorns, making it inappropriate for high traffic locations, but highly effective as a security hedge. The plant produces sizable fragrant blossoms typical of citrus, and its lemon-like fruit is notably sour and contains numerous seeds, but is delicious in making jams and marmalade. Trifoliate orange is recognized for its resistance to citrus greening, and researchers have sequenced its genome, identifying specific genes that contribute to this resistance. The genetic information is crucial for breeding programs aimed at developing new citrus varieties that withstand citrus greening. There's a warning besides the sleeping beauty thorns and bitter fruit taste. Trifoliate orange tends to spread rapidly, often reseeding itself in areas like woodlands, the edges of forests, fence rows, and urban green spaces. It's officially listed as an invasive species in Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, but you can buy trifoliate oranges at specialty nurseries, Amazon, Etsy, and eBay. So the dirty word of the day, fitting for St. Patrick's Day, is trifoliate orange.
Very interesting.
It is. It's deciduous. Can you imagine a deciduous citrus tree? No. It loses all its leaves every winter. So that's pretty, pretty cool. So we are going to be taking your phone calls this morning, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and I will take your text messages and phone calls this morning. I want to, just give a shout out to, if you missed any, to the people who have been texting us And I need more tea, Lizzie.
I'm laughing because our list, I'm telling you, when I tell you that we have the best listeners, we do, because Colette from Winter Haven says, is it still BYOC at Peterson's Nursery today? And what that means is, yes, BYOC, bring your own chair. So thank you for reminding us. So, and that, yes, that'll be, what time will you be there today?
11:30 today.
Okay.
And I will have handouts, and I will help you select plants for your yard. So I'm looking forward to it. So what can you be doing in your landscape this morning? You can be trimming and dividing ornamental grasses. Please cut your fountain grasses back. Your pampas grasses you can cut back. And go ahead and get rid of the winter damage so that they look good in the next couple of months. If you don't cut them back, they're going to have all those brown stems for the rest of the year, and it just looks very messy. You can trim your poinsettias to within 12 to 18 inches from the ground, and you can begin fertilizing it. You want to apply fertilizer to your palms, shrubs, and perennials. You want to divide and replant your perennials. Also, too, you want to divide your terrestrial orchids. Mine, just my terrestrial ground orchids, they did not do well in the freeze, but they're coming back, but I have to cut them all the way down to the ground. And then you also want to sprinkle summer mosquito bits in your mosquito-prone areas like birdbath gutters and bromeliads. For March, this is a time for tomato and pepper and eggplant planting times. So you want to set your transplants in the ground. Garden pests include aphids, whiteflies, and mites. You want to use that new Summit Responsible Solutions product, Neem 85, and that will help you get out. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let your friends and family know about Better Lawns and Gardens, and they can listen anytime, even on our podcast. Just listen to iHeartRadio. You can search for Teresa Watkins or Better Lawns and Gardens, and you'll find it. And then go to our Facebook page and like us, please. We would love for you to do that so we can let everybody know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Jackie in Melbourne. Good morning, Jackie. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm hoping you can help me. My poor Royal Poinsettia was past tense, magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
She's not looking too good these days. Is there any chance you think she'll come back? And if so, what can I do?
Okay, so how tall is she?
You know, big enough to make, I've built a she shed around her as a centerpiece. Uh-huh. I mean, she's big.
She's big. Okay, I'm going to tell you she's going to be fine. Okay. Okay, and there's probably going to be some pruning you're going to do with the branches that are dead. So as she
everything's dead. There's not one bit of green on her.
it's still going to come back, I think. So here's what you need to do: get on a ladder,
okay,
and I want you to go to the branch about the size of your pinky and just start going back and scraping that cambium, the outer layer of the bark, with your fingernail or keys or a little jackknife. And see, okay, very, very carefully scrape it and see if it still has moisture underneath that cambium layer.
Okay.
I usually say, see if you find green. But, you know, over the last few weeks of testing everybody's trees when I go to visit their houses, some of the trees have a bark underneath it that is tan, but it's still moist. And so it is still alive. So see see if you can find some live pots or spots on the branches. And that's going to tell you whether it's going to survive or not. I'm going to tell you one that big will probably be damaged and get knocked back, but it's probably going to survive. Now,
with that,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I have the same thing with the powder puff tree. All the red ones in my area are beautiful. My pink one is the exact same way.
Yes, yes. So the exact same way. So pink is a different variety than the red ones. And so it's probably a little bit more tender. Okay, so do the same thing to that as well. Now, if we're supposed to have a El Nino winter, which means warm and wet, this coming up December, January, and February. And so that's good news, because we're not going to have really two major too much of a major freeze to do any damage, hopefully.
Okay.
And that's just technically right now, that's what they're saying. So forecast, weather forecast, you know, all that kind of good stuff. We're going to keep our fingers crossed.
Doing anything for helping her, giving her anything? You'd want me to do anything?
Fertilize.
Right now?
Go ahead and fertilize.
I can? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and fertilize and give her some nutrition to push those leaves out.
Okay, perfect.
Okay?
Thank
Let
you.
Let us know how you do.
Yeah, cross your fingers.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you going to so
keep
much,
my fingers crossed. Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate it. Let's go to Diane in Kissimmee. Good morning, Diane. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. Well, I wanted to know if you wanted to join my pity party. I'm feeling sorry for myself.
Me too,
my
girl. Me too.
My avocado was dead, was going to have fruit for the first time. My mango tree, which was just glorious, is dead. But you said that there might be hope for the mango tree. And my 9 foot tall Ixora that, you know, covered the front of my house, you know, to
get
a shade on the patio. But everything is brown. Brown is in.
Brown is in. Cut it back. Your Ixora may be dead, but again, I would just keep checking and seeing if it comes back. There's a lot of the trees and everything will start to come back from the base. So your Ixora may come back from the base of the shrub, but your avocados and mangoes, again, I would just keep checking. Go to the branches and just scrape it. See if you find that green or that moisture area underneath the cambium. And if it is, it's going to recover. It may take some time, but go ahead and leave it alone and fertilize it, and it'll be recovering.
I found some green at the very bottom of the avocado. It's about 1 inch from the dirt. I said, I'll be dead before that thing.
No. You'll be surprised at how quickly it will recover. So if you see some green down at the bottom, I would check about how tall is it.
It was really short because I'm short, and that's what I wanted. It's less than 5 feet tall.
Okay, so check at the top and see if you can find some. Just go ahead and just scrape it just a wee bit. See if you can find some moist areas, and it should recover. Cut them, you know, if you want to cut back the branches, do so. Cut them diagonally. Don't cut them straight across.
Ah, okay.
Okay? Alrighty. Let us know how you do.
I will. Thank you. Oh, how far is Peterson's from Kissimmee?
That's not too far. I would say probably about a half an hour.
Oh, okay. That's good. I would love to try to get there, but usually I've looked at these places and they're more than an hour away.
No, because somebody's not going to be too far.
You say I'll be there at 10. Like, what the heck?
No. I'm going to be there at 11:30. So you're going to look. I'll look it up and I'll let you know. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much. Love your show. Love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's go to our text messages. Okay, so Lori from, I'm sorry, let me go to Richard in Tallahassee. Good morning. I'm heading to the nursery for spring things. Is there an advantage to or reasons to plant in containers rather than in the ground besides aesthetics? Yes, your plants that you plant in the ground will be able to stay, to use the water more efficiently. The water's not going to evaporate from the containers. So in containers, you have to water more often. And then also to the root system, depending on the size of the plants, you're going to have more room for the plants to grow in the ground. So if you don't have a large area or can't plant in the ground, then I would do it in containers. But you want to make sure, Richard, that you just lift it out of the pot every couple of years, cut off a third of the root system and put it back in the pot. That way it's still going to have enough soil in it and then fertilize it on a regular basis. Okay, that's a great question. And then Lori from St. Cloud says, how does milorganite figure in fertilizing for Bahia lawns? Says it needs to be watered in after the application, that it doesn't burn. It's 640. Thank you. Well, it's not everything the plant or your turf needs. So you can put it down and it's going to help. But that 6% nitrogen is not enough nitrogen for your turf. So you need at least 15% nitrogen. That's a University of Florida recommendation. And then the 4% phosphorus isn't needed for the turf, so that's kind of a waste. But then there's 0% potassium, and turf definitely needs that 0% or needs at least 15% potassium. So 15-0-15 is the recommended fertilizer. You can do 16-4-8, but the milorganite is only a supplement. It's not everything that turf needs. Okay, I hope I answered that correctly. Colette, I can't wait to see you at Peterson's Nursery today. Yes, BYOC. Brad in Gainesville says, I have a bag of granular fertilizer which has changed color over the course of the year. Do you think it's still good to use? Yes, you can go ahead and use it. It's not going to be harmful. It just may not be as potent as it was a year ago if it's been open. So it may not last as long. It may release more quicker. You just may have to fertilize again in a few months. Okay. But I would use it. I wouldn't throw it away. I would use it and see what happens, Brad. HR in Jacksonville says, I'm seeing lots of ads on social media for evergreen grass seed to give you a great yard anywhere. It does not tell you the variety of grass that it is. Your thoughts? Yeah, I wouldn't purchase any turf seed I wouldn't do it. There's a lot of miracle grass advertisement out there, and they are, cool season grasses for like Kentucky, the Midwest, Ohio, and they do well. It gets too hot here. We have so much rain that it'll rot, but it's the heat generally and the humidity that causes disease issues. It's why we don't grow fescue grass or Kentucky bluegrass down here. So yes, it will come up. It will be green for about a week to 10 days, maybe even 3 weeks, but those 80 degree temperatures are going to do a number on it, so I would not use them. Great question, HR. Where can I find information on the planting seasons for mid-Florida, Melbourne area, and what vegetables work well for these seasons? Well, I will tell you, if you would like to email me at teresa.watkins@live.com, I will send it to you. But you can also then go online to your extension office, and I'll tell you really how you can get it. That's really easy. Just go up to your browser and put in vegetables, and then put in E-D-I-S, vegetables, E-D-I-S, as in Sam, and that's the University of Florida, and they have a great publication on seasonally what to plant vegetables, okay? You're also going to want to make sure that you do salt tolerant too as well, depending on where you live in Melbourne. Okay, great question. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you this morning?
Fine. Thank you, Teresa. I have a question on the queen palms. They seem all right to some degree, but what should I do to them?
I'm sorry, say your queen palm, they're green. How brown are they?
Well, the tips are brown on the fronds. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, some questionable things, which I don't understand. So I'm just wondering if I need to do anything, care for them, or maybe they're done for, too. I don't know.
Well, let's explore the questionable things you don't know what to do. What is a questionable thing? If the fronds are, the tips are brown, not a problem. Leave the fronds alone. If there's any green on it at all, you don't want to take mm-hmm. them off. What are the other questionable things on it?
The trunk seems to have like a little bulge on it on there, but maybe it isn't something I didn't recall it before at all.
Okay. Well, palm trees will grow and expand in the width of the trunk depending on the nutrients and also the water it receives. So it just may be that year that it grew that layer that got more nutrients and more water that year.
Yeah. Is there a good chance it'll survive?
Yes.
After this hard freeze?
Yes. There's a good chance if the fronds are green, it's a good mm-hmm. chance. I would spray it with a fungicide. Can you get to the top of it? Can you see the top of the tree?
Yeah, I can get to the top.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would spray it with a copper fungicide. Okay, and then
copper
that's good. Copper fungicide.
Okay.
That's going to help the tip. And then you want to fertilize it.
Once, yeah.
Pardon me?
Fertilize it? Yeah. I'm sorry, did you just spray with a copper once?
Follow the instructions. So if it says you can usually spray a second application a few weeks later, but follow the instructions. Mm-hmm. You just want to fertilize with a palm fertilizer that has the micronutrients in it. Jerry, thank you so much for listening, hon. We appreciate it. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and your gardening questions from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your garden host. I'm an expert landscape designer, horticulturist, garden author, garden tour guide.
If you're just all-around superhero.
Not necessarily a superhero, but I love what I do. Yes. And I love education, and I love showing people beautiful gardens and how to create them.
And you get a little bit of that education too, because you guys offer garden tours, right?
Yes, we do. Art and Bloom garden tours. If you'd like to travel with me, I would love for you to come with me. And we are going to some wonderful places this year. You can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. So I have a great text message. So it says, is it safe to use pre-emergence weed killer on a brick driveway when you are using well water for your house water? I've been concerned about getting down into our water supply. I'd really like to know how deep your well is, but I don't necessarily think there is a reason to be concerned. One is that the herbicides that we use on the shelf, when used according to the label, and only when necessary, will they be harmful. And so if you are using it on a weekly basis, then there may be some issues, because then it's going to leach down. But if you're using it once a year, I just don't think there's going to be an issue of it. But read the label on your weed killer, and it will have more. And if it doesn't have anything more on it, you can look up the label of the product, or call the company. There is an 800 number on the back of every product on the market anywhere, no matter what industry. There is an 800 number you can call and ask your question directly with the name of the product, and they will be able to give you more exact information. Okay, so always call the 800 number. You can look up the MSDS sheet. That's M as in Mary, S as in Sam, D as in dog, and S as in Sam again. MSDS with the name of the product, and it will give you more information on the chemicals that you're using. And chemicals aren't bad. Chemicals are used when used appropriately and according to the label are safe. Okay? And we just have to remember, even water is a chemical. You know,
yes.
So there you go. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. John in Haines City said, I listen to your show every weekend and catch it on the podcast. He emailed me. So I've attached two photos of two bougainvilleas that now look dead from freeze damage. I haven't scratched any limbs to see if I can find any green, but it sure does look dead. Hoping to hear from you as what I should be doing with these now or later. And then he said, I thought I heard you say on the radio that bougainvilleas had a good chance of survival. Well, anyway, I thought I heard it, but I'll let you know what I find. And so I told John to carefully look at the bottom of the plants, scrape the outer portion of the stems to see if you can find any green or moist areas. And if it's totally dead, it should be replaced. So it's going to freeze. Bougainvilleas do not take freezes well, so it's going to. But if you do find green, then you can cut it back to that level, and it may take 6 months or so, but it may, or it will come back. Here's the thing. It may take 6 months or more, and you may not want to wait that long. Okay, so here's some choices, okay? And he did cover it with a blanket, but when we had such a hard freeze, the blankets and the frost blankets don't really help. Okay, so thankfully, we only experience these cold temperatures every 5 to 10 years. So, but if you would like to replace it with something that can handle the cold, then, John, you can use a coral honeysuckle on a trellis, and it would look really nice in the corner. He sent me photos, so I know I can say that. It'll look really nice in the corner. Or you can use camellias, and you can find these at your nursery, locally, online. And the camellias will bloom in the wintertime. So those are a good choice. So this is, who sent me this one? This is Judith in Orlando. She said, I may have already asked you this, but want to make certain. I have a mature Ixora hedge in place in the front of my house, which is planted along with a mature viburnum hedge. The Ixora is completely damaged by the recent frost, and I heard someone on your program from Summit Responsible Solutions recommend spraying it with horticultural spray oil. Well, the horticultural spray oil is not used for frost damage. There's nothing you can do for frost damage. Okay, it's dead. It's brown. You just have to cut it off. It's not going to recover. Spray oil is good for disease control, insect control, and so it is a it's used for fungus issues. So it is not used for frost. There's really nothing we can do for frost. All right. So please tell me the specifics of what I need to do. Again, some websites indicate that the exhaust should have damaged areas trimmed off as soon as there's new signs of leaf growth. I would do it before the new leaf growth so you don't cut the leaf growth off. But go ahead and cut back the dead portion on the exhaust. Exhaust will freeze. Okay, so thank you very much. Last week I had someone ask me right after the show was over and it was too late, and I did text them, but they wanted to know the name of the tree company that I talked about.
Yes.
And that was Word of Mouth Tree Company, and it's wordofmouthtreeservices.com. They are a great, great company, and they're certified arborists, and that's the only persons you should see about what you're, what's going on with your trees is a certified arborist. So you can make sure of that.
Yes, and you also need to go ahead and contact, you know, an arborist or your tree companies to have them come out and look at your trees now. Because I'm telling you, you wait to the last second. It's kind of like the whole frost blanket thing. If you wait to the last second, you're not going to have people come out and check your trees.
That is so true. Hurricane season starts in June. I hate to say that. Last year, we were very fortunate, although sadly we needed the water from the tropical storms, the rainfall. But this year is going to be El Nino. We are going to probably have a few more storms. If they, you know, hit the coast, that's up to the weather patterns. But now is the time to have your trees assessed, because when we have storms coming, they're so busy and lined up, you may not get them in time. And it's going to cost more, kind of like fixing your air conditioning in the summertime. You want to do it in the winter so you get cheaper prices and you can get good service. All right. We're going to be back with more of your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. Frank from Melbourne. Hang on. We're going to get to you right now. If you'd like to text me, 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. It's time for your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680 and I'll answer your questions. And if you do send it in, sometimes people listen to the show on Sundays and they send in their gardening question, Lizzie. So what happens then?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
You know, when somebody texts us after the show's over with.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. You can text. So it's one of those, if you have like short-term memory loss like I do and I forget to what I need to say. I don't care if it's midnight. Just text us at 23680. I come in on Monday mornings and I go through our text line and then I screenshot them and I send them to Teresa so she can answer them the next day. Or sometimes she'll personally text you. So yeah, yes. 23680.
Yeah, thank you so much. Let's go to Frank in Melbourne. Good morning, Frank. Thank you for holding on and being so patient.
Well, it's a beautiful day the Lord has made. Teresa, my lawnmower guy about 4 years ago put in hedges, about 120 feet in my yard.
Okay.
And I saw Chick-fil-A here expand their driveways, and they were putting in new hedges. And I asked the guy what it was and this and that. Anyway, the last name was Plum. It leaves about the size of oak leaves. Anyway, it's got that terrible saddle brown tint from the frost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're well established. They're about 4 years now on the ground. And over that time, I've been ground watering them about once a week. But I was hoping you could tell me a fertilizer or something that might revive that.
Okay, so this is the time of the year to fertilize. Spring is the time to put down fertilizer. So you can do that. Just a regular 666-888-1010 a balanced fertilizer is all you need to put down. Just follow the label.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll keep on ground watering in the meantime.
Huh? Well, right. If you're only watering once a week, is it not on in irrigation? If it's a commercial property, it should be on irrigation.
No, it's my backyard. I got a loamy sand soil that they're in, so we do it about once a week.
That sounds great. They should be just fine then. Good for you, Frank. Thank you so much for calling and listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I love that when they call. And so let's go to Diane in Tallahassee. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Yes, I just wanted to tell you that the delphinium I asked you about,
yes,
that I planted through the winter, a couple of them are blooming already. And I had no idea they would go that quickly.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad. Is it a pretty blue? Is it a dark blue? Is it a light blue?
The two that are blooming, one is actually white and one it's light blue.
Oh.
So I think they'll all be different colors.
How lovely. I'm so proud of you. Good for you.
Well, thank you. I have another question.
Sure.
I also planted some Lysianthus.
Yes.
I don't even know if that's the right way to say it.
It is, Lysianthus.
Okay, and they're now outside in the garden. Mm-hmm. Do they survive in Florida?
They do, but you treat them as annuals, okay? So they will go through probably May and June, possibly even July up there in Tallahassee, because you're kind of zone 8. So they will be fine, but they will be treated as annuals. They won't come back every year.
Okay.
But they're worth it, aren't they?
Can I ask you one other question?
Sure, sure.
I was spraying my orange trees, and I have one of these orthodilon spray things, but it doesn't spray high enough. And I buy a lot of products that have sprayers on them. They spray beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a way to figure out how many ounces of actual spray goes with the water, like per gallon, on those?
Okay, so here's what you do is that, again, with every product you use, your fertilizers that you use, one, you can email me and tell me what you have, and I can help you. That's teresa.watkins@live.com. Or on the fertilizer label, you can find the 800 number, and it's on the back of the label. They all have them. And you can call them. Usually it's like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, that kind of thing. And just call them on Monday, and they will give you the exact measurements that you need to put in to spray at a certain, level, certain percentage.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you. I learned lots of good little things on your program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening, Diane. I appreciate it so much. Enjoy your delphiniums. I'm so proud of you for doing that.
You notice nobody ever calls and goes, "Hey, I learned something from Lizzie." Except for mint. Do not plant mint in the ground or in your garden unless you want ground cover for the rest of the next generation's lives.
I disagree with you. I think they have learned so much about your turkeys, and I have learned about your turkeys, so I learned so much from you, so that sometimes it's what not to do. But that's always good experience, right?
Right.
For somebody. So
thanks.
We are going to be, I am, okay, not Lizzie. Lizzie has got plans for today.
Yes, Brooke's being baptized. And if you're not able to go see Teresa, but you're over in the Daytona area, the Hilton, that is across from the Ocean Center, they're having a free baptism on the beach at 1 p.m. today. So, so she's going to be baptized.
I think that's wonderful.
But I'm very sad because there's a lot of our listeners that I really would like to see. So I am very sorry.
Possibly may be going there in a few weeks. So
yes.
Whenever you go there, you'll let people know so they can come and see you. And that would be fun. But I'm going to be at Peterson's Nursery today at 11:30. And my talk is going to be Color Your World. And it's going to be about adding color into your landscape. And I hope everybody comes. Bring your own chair.
Yes.
And the possibility of a little bit of a sprinkle today.
We won't melt.
No, we won't. So bring an umbrella. And we'll get to have a good time. I can't wait to see it at the nursery. I know it's just going to be beautiful with lots of great plants.
Oh, 100%, definitely. And also, if you have some questions for Teresa about your landscape or your yard or even a problem with one of your plants and you're going to come see her today, take a far back picture, especially if it's landscape, yeah. And then make sure it's clear and then get an up close of the problem that you're talking about. So take about 2 or 3 pictures, but one, make sure that they're focused in, and then two, but she needs to be able to see what's around something that may be creating either the problem.
A wide picture, so yes. I can get the whole picture.
Yes.
That would be great. No, I also, too, if you'd like to get my free monthly newsletter in your backyard, you can go to my website, she-consulting.com. That's SHE-consulting.com. And on the very page that you land on, it says subscribe to a free newsletter. I do not spam. I don't sell your emails. You're all mine. And you will receive my free newsletter. So I would love to do that. Also, to go to our Facebook page. We like that. And like our page and share it. No matter where you are in the world, you can like the Facebook page.
Yes, definitely.
So I love that. So what else can you be doing this month? Again, I said this during the first hour, ornamental grasses need to be cut today. And so if, you know, this weekend is a good time to do it, you know, during the rain, before, after the rain. Do not fertilize before a rainstorm. That's going to contribute to stormwater runoff. Your lakes are going to get algae blooms. So all of these homes around the lakes and these HOAs, these retention ponds, when you fertilize, you stay away from your shoreline 15 to 20 feet. What's going to happen is that fertilizer is going to go down the shoreline and it's going to go down to the bottom, but it's not going to go into the lake in the amounts it would if you fertilized all the way down to the lake. So always stop your fertilizing. Tell your landscape maintenance companies, we have a big issue with algae blooms and fertilizer. And one of the ways to stop it is to do not fertilize your shoreline. Come down about 20 feet away from the shoreline and stop fertilizing. The grass is going to be just fine down there. Your plants are going to be just fine. You do not want to fertilize down at the shoreline. And never fertilize before a rainstorm. You always want to do it afterwards. One, you know, fertilizer at its base is a salt. So if you have not had rain and you have not irrigated, your plants are going to be very dry. Your turf is going to be dry. And when you put that salt on your turf, it's going to have a better chance of burning it. So you always want to fertilize after a rainfall. That way your plants are hydrated, your turf is hydrated, and the fertilizer can work properly. If you put the fertilizer down before the rain, it's going to wash off. It's going to go down the drain. It's going to go into the lakes. It's going to go into the retention ponds, and it's going to cause algae bloom. So we don't want to do that. And I know that there's lakes in Lake County
yes.
that are having this issue. Orange County, it's so amazing to me to fly over as I'm landing or as I'm taking off, and you look down at these HOAs and these subdivisions, and the lakes are solid green in the summertime. And it's because of the fertilizer that is used on these properties. And so just be very careful with it. More is not better. Okay, so that's the important part. More is not better. Fertilize according to the label, only as necessary. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. Come see me at Peterson's Nursery today at 11:30 in Lakeland. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of the show or you'd like to recap any of the older shows, you can go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com and check out the Facebook page, which is Better Lawns and Gardens.